Welcome to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. Through insightful discussions and practical strategies, get ready to unlock the tools you need to thrive and make your unique mark on the world. In our podcast series, we dive deep into the Engagement Fit Drive framework. Join Tracy, Andrew, and Claire and get ready to thrive. In this episode, we will be exploring the coordinator and sniper drives, where they contrast with one another, and how they might show up or play out.
Welcome back to the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. It's so good to have you all with us. In our last episode, we unpacked the impact player and guardian drives. Hope you had a listen to those. And I'd like you in this episode to join Claire, Andrew, and myself as we unpack coordinator and sniper drives.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Tracy and I both have dominant coordinator drive. So a coordinator is an accomplishing drive. It is very much about facilitating good teamwork for the purpose of productivity and efficiency. This efficiency is achieved by coordinating lots of work streams and workflows and people and resources very effectively. I will now share what the definition of the coordinator drive is. As a coordinator, you'll likely enjoy managing many tasks and projects at the same time. You may tend to have a huge capacity for aligning and arranging many aspects at once, getting the most out of resources, budgets, and people. Your natural energy to arrange and coordinate many different tasks and people contributes to your strong productivity and efficiency, and you may do this best when you have the mandate to organize people and resources. You may tend to easily zoom into the details of each aspect you're coordinating whilst naturally keeping the bigger picture in mind. You may often find yourself busy with many different things at the same time, and you probably know exactly where each part fits. You naturally arrange and delegate well, and may have an enormous capacity for numerous simultaneous activities and a need to stay busy. Coordinators will often include others within decision-making processes, preferring to take all things into consideration before execution. Not only are they busy, but they keep others busy too. Coordinators thrive in conditions where they can organize, delegate, multitask, and coordinate many different priorities.
Thank you for that, Claire. And yes, we so relate to this drive, don't we? The energy of this drive is unbelievable. And if we just look at the needs of this drive, so every drive has its needs, and the coordinator needs people and resources to coordinate, a project to manage, and the mandate to make decisions and delegate. And I love to use the example for this drive. An orchestra can have up to 80 instruments playing, 80 people playing in the orchestra, and the conductor, without a word leaving his lips, he uses a little stick that he waves and uses to create absolute harmony with 80 different instruments, which means he has to, as Claire said in our description for coordinator, zoom in and hear every single instrument, and then combine those and hear how they are playing together. He also has the capacity to ensure that the right person is playing the right instrument. Are they bringing that instrument to life the best they can? So the capacity for the coordinator drive is tremendous. The energy from this drive to bring the 80 pieces of new instruments and 80 people all creating this amazing harmony just from his body language, his movement, the way he can listen. So definitely that plays to that zoom in and zoom out ability of this drive. And certainly in my life, coordinator is obviously one of my strong drives and plays a huge role in my life in doing just that.
Coordinator happens to be a drainer for me. So it's very interesting to see how this drive energy plays out. One thing that's important to note is Coordinator is one of those drives that's all about capacity. And typically people who are coordinators may tend to be very busy. And just something to be aware of here is the difference between busyness and productivity. And that starts with an understanding of what your capacity is. Tracy, I'd be very interested to hear from you. What does coordinator practically look like for you? What does it look like every day? What makes sense to you? Would you help us just better understand what this drive looks like in practice?
So for me, Andrew, and I can only speak for me because I do have a lot of the high energy drive. So for me, there's a lot of energy with this drive. And it is sustainable energy. I can start something, I can maintain it, and I can get to the end with this drive. And I can use another example in one of my workplaces where I ran a hire desk for a construction company, and I was in charge of hiring out equipment. I would have to get the operator, I would have to organize the transport. And that job required me, I don't think I sat down. I did have a desk, but I don't think I ever sat down. It was a case of going to check on the fleet, maybe getting a mattress for the operator, monitoring my board. Where is each piece of equipment? Where is it going to? Has it been invoiced? And not being tired. That job, I felt energized every single day. I loved that job. So it is a drive that comes with a lot of energy. And that, I think, creates the busyness because it energizes us. To be doing things all the time energizes us. So that's what it looks like for me, Andrew.
Thank you, Tracy. And I think what was really important to pick out there is the fact that when we are playing naturally towards our dominant drives, they do energize us. And that's the point. And just while you were telling that story, it actually makes me feel quite tired to even think about it. Claire, what does coordinator mean for you?
I so relate with what Tracy is saying. And there's a phrase that came to mind now, and it is, variety is the spice of life. And if I think of coordinator, there's so many things that are going on at the same time, but the ability to really zone in that in a particular task, this still needs to be done, whether you're delegating or you're doing it yourself, and still being able to manage or multitask and do something else simultaneously. And then still feeling energized by it. I heard you saying that just hearing about this makes you tired. But I think we'll get a little bit into that just now with the contrast. Mm. But as a coordinator, for me, it is having multiple things in the air, doing it all, not allowing any balls to drop, like really trying to get to zone into certain things. But I think for anything else, it is the priorities, because the minute you prioritize slightly off, one of the balls are on the floor. Mm. And for a coordinator, being able to organize means you need to prioritize, because before you can do anything else, you can't multitask, you can't delegate. So it really is being able to zoom in, zoom out, and see where we are, and working with a lot of things at the same time. And there's so much. The word capacity, I think, is may even be a bit of an understatement, because there's just always a little bit room for more. And just when you think you're about to let the balls drop, everything works out perfectly fine. I don't know about you, Tracy, but it just makes sense to me. I can't necessarily say that I've dropped the ball because there was just too much. It, like you said, it energizes us, right? And it's not that we want to constantly be busy, but the busyness in itself also increases our energy, and it comes naturally to us.
Just to clarify specifically what I meant around capacity is, know what your capacity is, because each person's capacity might look different.
Oh, totally.
I think it's also important to make this point here that your other dominant drives might influence how this drive plays out as well. And it's always important to remember that when we are talking about drives, it's from how we experience them. And there are very many different nuances on how these things work, because it's always a dynamic mix of drives happening in a situation or a context. One thing I wanted to just check in with you both is that in the engagement fit drive framework, there are two drives that play very strongly towards the mandate to make decisions. One is navigator, which we discussed in an earlier podcast, and the other one is coordinator. And I think it's very important to understand this because this is drive energy and it's sustainability. When you are not given an opportunity to play to your drive, and that could be the mandate that you can't make a decision without having to check with someone else. If you can go back to Tracy's example of the conductor of the orchestra, you can't wait for permission to be able to change tack or to do something. It's the ability to, on the fly, make decisions, understanding the big picture, zooming into the detail. And by the way, capacity for a coordinator is all about how effectively you delegate.
Exactly.
Can I jump in with that statement and Claire talking about dropping the balls? I think you've hit the nail on the head in terms of one of my other drives as navigator. So I think that avoids me from dropping boards because that thinking ahead, so far ahead to mitigate any problems. Mm. And yes, I agree, Claire, I don't drop balls either. But I would imagine in maybe a mismanaged coordinator or maybe not a mature coordinator where they're just taking on so much and then not balancing that. And I love your variety as a spice of life. That really resonates with me. And I think coordinators, definitely from the six basic human needs, we've got variety, and the opposite of that is certainty. Mm. True coordinators definitely steer towards the variety on the scale.
I think with all of the different drives that come into play, with coordinator being a dominant drive for both Tracy and I, we play very strongly in the coordinator space, but we also use it. So we've gotten to the point where we do know what our capacity is. And when I say capacity, I literally mean like my coordinator capacity versus one of my other drives. I can clearly see that coordinator's got capacity, whereas the others just don't have that. And it is an energy drive, but it also pulls a lot of its strength as well, depending on which of the drives are in play for a particular task or a project or something that you're doing. I know that Trace is a mom. A lot of people like look and go, how do you do things at the same time, like simultaneously? But I can almost guarantee, if I ask Tracy now, Tracy, do you cook and do washing and do this and do that all at the same time? And she'll probably say, yes, she can. Whereas somebody else might not have that capacity to do
so. Don't do it all now, but certainly when my son was little, and it was him and me, and it was the two of us on our own. And I never felt drained to being a mom. I never felt like anything was too much. And it's a good point because I haven't really thought about it clear until right now. But yes, being a mom for me was wonderful. I loved every minute of it. So
Being able to cook a meal while you've got a cake in the oven and washing in the machine and he's in the bath, that's true coordinator, isn't it?
Absolutely.
To also just say that there are certain drives where delegation can be problematic for a number of different reasons. And we'll discuss those as we get to the drives where that's at play. What we said here is delegation is the key to unlocking the capacity of this drive. There are some drives where delegation can be difficult. And when those drives are in play with coordinator, it can bring a different perspective there as well. It is very likely for a person to have both sniper and coordinator as dominant drives. And in this engagement fit drive framework, what's the tool that you need in this specific context or situation? And when you've got both sniper and coordinator, the question would be, what does the situation require? I need to broaden my focus, therefore I need to draw on the coordinator drive. Whereas I need to narrow in and focus my attention on one specific thing, I need the sniper in this context or this situation. So when you have dominant contrasting drives, that's the type of thinking. What drive do I need for this context and this situation? Tracy mentioned earlier, she's both a navigator and a coordinator. Both of those drives are highly proactive. Both need to make the decision. The difference being that navigator is about looking ahead, seeing potential obstacles, quickly coming up with a way forward, making a call, and navigating around it. Whereas with coordinator, it's all about efficiency. And it's all about big picture perspective on all the working parts happening, narrowing into the detail, zooming back out again. And one thing about coordinator is because they're proactive, they might also be asking themselves afterwards, is there a better way of doing that? Tracy, Claire, does that resonate?
All the time. Yeah. I'm always saying, how can I do it better? How can I be more efficient? Always. That definitely is a thing that sits with me a lot.
And I'm not sure if it might be my innovator drive that's also coming into play, but there's always a better way of doing it. And I just thought of something now. For the delegation, we know that the coordinator is capable of doing things on their own, but they are not afraid and they're not shy to ask for help or delegate for the greater, the grander scheme of things in efficiency and productivity and getting something done.
Mm. And on that note, Claire, to go into what the booster drive is for coordinator, which is finisher. So coordinator, finisher drive. What does it mean? Both of these drives play to lots of capacity to get things done. The coordinator creates that capacity to get things done through efficient delegation and managing multiple simultaneous workflows. Whereas finisher has the endurance to work hard and to get things done and completed. And when those two drives combine in a situation or a context, you have the boosting energy of those two drives at play, which means you'll feel even more energized.
Now let's have a look now at the sniper drive. Sniper drive is also an accomplishing drive, and sniper is a contrast to the coordinator. It is not a contrast that has a lot of tension. Coordinators are like jugglers. So if you think of someone that juggles, a juggler has to have just as much focus as a sniper, but the difference is the focus. A coordinator can focus on many things at the same time, whereas the sniper focuses only on the one. And having said so, we just spoke now about the being able to delegate and accept help. The sniper would be very more exclusive because they've got to complete it. Their eye is on the target. They're focused on that one target and it's getting it done. Whereas the coordinator, they are aware that they can do it on their own. They know when they need to delegate, but they also know when they need to accept help.
And I would like to give you the definition of what a sniper is. As a sniper, you are very reliable in keeping the focus and hitting a clear target. You may be counted on to be extremely accurate. This precision may cause you frustration when the target is suddenly moved or when you are interrupted while you're busy. You may not like to multitask, but prefer to prioritize and focus intensely on one thing at a time. You may need precise information, instructions, and clarity on the expectations and specifics of a task or a goal. Having this may lift your execution to the highest level you set for yourself. You're a strong finisher, especially with detailed work. You may be relied on to never let go and keep things on track until the objective is reached and completed. Snipers are focused, exact, precise, and highly reliable. They thrive in conditions where they can work alone, concentrate on the task at hand without interruption, and execute one priority at a time.
And we know that you, Andrew, are going to share some more insights on the sniper drive for us. What are the needs of the sniper drive? They need a clear, precise target. And if you just visualize a sniper, he's looking through that, not a lens, that thing on his arm as his machine gun or whatever he's shooting. Think of that small thing that he's looking through. That is a single-minded focus, and they need uninterrupted focus time. So, Andrew, now can you share with us what your sniper looks like for you?
I love this drive. A sniper is another drive that plays into the ability of getting things done and about achieving the goal. And if one has to think about a special forces sniper, there are a lot of character traits which are true to the drive. What's key and foundational with this drive is to know what the target is. What's the target we need to hit? And then also detailed information on that target. If you thought of a special forces sniper and they've been given a target and they're just about ready to pull the trigger, and then somebody says, hang on a second, not that thing, this is the new information. If you had pulled that trigger, you would have killed the wrong target. And that's the point with sniper as well. It's no good just saying the red car driving down the road. It would have to be meticulous information. And when you look at how snipers operate, the spotter has a scope. And from that scope, they are identifying the range. They are identifying the target in explicit detail. They are defining the wind conditions. They are defining all sorts of things. And then when it comes time for a sniper to actually take the shot, they have to monitor their breathing and they have to have single-minded focus. And when they are ready, then they can commit and pull the trigger. One thing about the special forces snipers as well is that they typically stay on target until the mission is completed. So there's a huge degree to which tenacity plays into this as well. As long as you've got a clear target and you know what you're hitting and people are not changing the goalpost, the execution is precise, accurate, and deadly on target.
Andrew, thank you for that. And then I just out of curiosity, when you're not actually a special forces sniper, but you use this drive in your work capacity, how do you manage to then come out of that intense focus?
Tracy, thanks for asking that question. We have spoken a little bit about first responder and that tendency to respond in the moment, whereas sniper is very much in the zone, in the moment. If they get disrupted, you'll possibly find that it takes them a long time to get back to where they were before they were interrupted, because they were so in the zone with thinking and with the detail and the information, and then a distraction pulls them off task, and then they need to get back to where they are. But they might have had a train of thought that they were specifically thinking about, and that interruption broke that focus. And the effectiveness of this drive comes about sometimes communicating your need to block time, to say, I need time for intentional focus. And by communicating that request to people around you, and especially in situations where you're working in an environment that tends to be open plan or whatever, while a sniper, depending on the person, may be quite able to get into the zone and not distracted by things around them, when it comes to the attention to detail, it's valuable for a person to communicate to their colleagues. This is important. It needs to get done. I need to block off a period of time, so please don't disturb me during that. And then take themselves off and commit themselves to that specific time. And out of that comes huge value, not only in productivity, but also in achieving the mission, if that makes sense.
Yes, that does make sense. I still want to know, because you energized in that intense focus, in that detail, you can stay there for hours, right? A long time.
Yeah.
I want to know how that can impact your work-life balance.
Yeah, to the point, and I've certainly noticed this in my own life, because I've got a lot of drives that play to finishing strong. I can literally do that. I'm energized by doing it, whatever it is. And I say, sitting in one position for far longer than I should. The detrimental side of that is when I need to get up, then I really feel it in my body because I've been so intentionally focused on what I was doing, forgot about the need to move. And that is one aspect that needs managing. And if you are going to have a break or you need to break your focus, make sure that you've got a strategy or a plan so that when you come back from that break, you can get back relatively quickly to where you left off. I have a sniper finisher drive strong, and they're really strong for me. And that finisher boosting energy on top of the sniper is I need to finish it. And I need to narrow the focus and get it done. And it's just about managing the space that while there's a need for doing that, just be careful on the life balance because there will be detriments to working too long. Or because that focus is so narrowed, you might forget other things that are important too. What are the strategies that each person needs to be able to manage that energy so it's not detrimental to you? Because you are energized by doing it. But the detrimental side is it could have costs in other areas and just being aware of that and coming up with strategies to do that.
So what I'm hearing, Andrew, is being intentional and putting strategies in place that you don't get zoned in there. And the reason I asked that question also is because coaching a lot of people with a strong sniper drive is that they even take that mental focus out the work door and they take it home with them.
Yes, yes. And Trace, because although this drive has two drives that it boosts with, one is finisher and the other one is scheduler, that sniper type focus can significantly impact your other dominant drives as well. And the boosting effect of contemplator sniper. Now, because contemplator is about living in a world of your own thoughts, and then sniper focus to that could be the very ultimate in being here in body, but not here in mind.
Oh, yes, I can see that. Yes, that would be quite a combo, sure.
And in terms of managing this, I mentioned earlier that coordinator is a drainer for me. So unlike you, when I start to feel like there are multiple things starting to happen at the same time, I start to feel like I'm losing control because there are too many things that are demanding my attention at once. When a lot of things started happening at the same time, I've got to work really hard at managing this need to finish or this need to focus or this need to be in the zone. And also coming up with a strategy, I need to change my focus from this thing to this thing, respecting that in certain situations, that might just take a little bit of time to transition and communicating that to other people so they don't think that you're being rude or whatever, because you need that for yourself in order to be able to play to where the strength of this drive plays out.
And once again, we see the importance of communication with all the drives is communicating what you need, the needs of this drive, that they're in your team environment, work environment, even in your home environment. That's imperative that people understand you. Mm. We know the sniper that sets this very high level, very high expectations. How do you manage the perfectionism part of the sniper drive?
I have to say that this need for perfectionism has been around for as long as I can remember. And I've had to learn lots, not always in a good way, on how to manage perfectionism and to recognize that perfectionism is a proper slave master in the world that we live in. While it's always good to have high standards and to do things well and to be accurate and precise, when the mindset and the focus becomes about perfection, it can be highly detrimental to the people around you and to yourself, depending on how you manage it. And I just think around a specific situation when I was at school, and I was cleaning the dairy yard, and I just finished cleaning everything and it was looking fantastic. And the person who brought in the next herd of cows messed up my perfection, and I was very unimpressed, to say the least. Oh. And I have a couple of stories like that where everything's just perfect and just fine, and then a situation happens and everything that I've spent the last hour or two organizing is turned either back into chaos or back to the state it was an hour ago. And the need to manage your frustration and your anger in that space is a life skill you need to learn fast.
What is your definition of perfection?
It's always been a personal value and something that I've always believed in. If you're going to do something, do it to the best of your ability. And also having a strong supporter drive as well, and other drives that play into values around this, is always do the best you can, but recognize that having high standards and doing things right the first time and being precise and accurate are all good things and things that you should strive for. But when it becomes perfectionism, which is, in my definition, it becomes unrealistic. The cost of that can be really damaging. And perfection is also something that we coach around, because we live in an imperfect world. We live in situations where life happens. You can't be perfect in everything.
No, that's my question, is what is perfect? Is there a perfect? Andrew, that was awesome. Thank you. Thank you for your insights on that. I know you did mention the booster drives that do boost Sniper, and that's Finisher and Schedule. I don't know if you want to explain. So, no, you really did a little bit.
The two drives that boost Sniper is Sniper Finisher and Sniper Scheduler. And both of those drives we will discuss in another podcast. But the Sniper Finisher bit, both those drives are goal orientated and have very strong finishing energy. You get Finisher that brings endurance and the ability to work hard. And then the Sniper is execution that's done with precision, focused concentration, and prioritization. A Sniper Scheduler booster drive is, both drives are very much about staying on course. Both drives just like shifting goalposts and interruptions for the reasons that I've explained, is because oftentimes when you get pulled out of planning or out of detail orientation, your focus is so intense, it takes a little while to get back to where that was. So, and if we've agreed on this thing, and then you're getting ready to execute and to pull the trigger on something to achieve that, to hit that target, and then somebody says, no, hang on, those are not the goalposts anymore, that creates a lot of frustration. And this is, again, where communication is really important, because we need to communicate those to people. If change is going to come, and Trace, playing to your navigator, if you do see something and we need to change fast, then communicate to the Sniper Schedulers and other drives, which are all about certainty and predictability, why we are making the change. Because otherwise we can feel like it's, oh, we just keep changing our decisions all the time. And obviously think about planning as well of the scheduler. When you've just spent hours drafting or creating a perfect plan for execution, and then the goalposts change or something like that, you've got to go back to the drawing board again. And that's very frustrating. So the scheduler drive unpacks a project into a step-by-step action plan. And the Sniper drive unpacks the goal into order of priority, because Snipers narrow the focus. They don't like splitting their focus on many things at the same time. And therefore, they prioritize what's the most important thing. And then you move from priority to priority and you narrow the focus and lock on the target.
Wow, thank you. I really needed some of that. It's made it a lot clearer for me. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Claire. Are there any questions from your side around that?
So my questions were similar to Tracy's, but for me, it was more around the you're in the zone and you're focused. I know that we shouldn't be doing this and we want the work-life balance, but you get to a certain point of the evening where you really need to switch off. How do you switch off the laptop, but also switch off internally to come out of that drive of the sniper? Because there's life outside of what you are currently doing. So how do you switch off?
Especially when booster drives are at play. And I think most notably around finisher and sniper is finisher's got huge endurance to keep working hard. And if you don't set boundaries around that, then you will be making decisions that play towards, I've got to get this finished today. That's the focus of a finisher. And when you can't finish for the day, it can be very frustrating. And my experience of that finisher drive is that you've actually got to create time to decompress. And you sometimes find people recommending that on the commute home, what do you need in order to pick up tomorrow? What do you need in terms of sniper and finisher or whatever it is? How do you put stuff in place so that you know you can pick it up tomorrow, but you don't feel like you've got no starting point or you lost track of the chain of thought that you were on? Just remember, if it's a booster drive, you're going to have a double wham of energy, which means you're going to feel energized. Now, to think that you can come out of that environment and then suddenly be able to relax and to fall asleep, not going to happen. Those two drives and other drives that place very strong to that finishing energy do need strategies to manage how you make the transition from being super energized into a place where you can engage with family time, with fitness, with other things that are also important in your life. And I do believe that any of the drives that play around capacity, I would say the same for coordinator as well. You need boundaries around those spaces so that you can play to the strengths of those drives, but that you're also managing for the other things that are important in your life and bring value to your life.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. I've got one last question. And I think where I want to go with this question is Tracy and I are both coordinators and sniper is a drainer for both of us. And you're on the opposite side of things. So I'm not speaking on behalf of Tracy. We can hear from Tracy, but I want to hear from you as well. For me, I am a coordinator. And again, variety is the spice of life. I get energized by doing many things at the same time. And I love that I don't have two of the same days consecutively. And for yourself, Andrew, I want to ask them because the sniper being a drainer for me, being focused on one thing, like with intense focus, I hate to say it this way, but I would get a little bored. And maybe that is why it's a drainer for me. How do you see it on the flip side for coordinator? Is it overwhelming? Or is it like, where do you draw the line? What's too much for you?
Let me start by saying that just because something's a drainer for you doesn't mean to say that you don't need to manage it.
Yeah.
And the whole point of positive psychology and what we're doing with engagement fit drive work as well is saying, play to where your areas of strength are, know your drainers are, and then know how you manage that space. Let me give an example. Sniper is a focus for me. There might be other people who have sniper as a dominant drive as well, but they could be sniper first responder. Now, first responder plays very much, as does pioneer, which both of you have as dominant drives as well, very much into the variety space. So when you become self-aware of your dominant drives, I can still play into variety if I want to, because I can look at other drives that help me in that space. I've got a lot of drives that play towards certainty, predictability, stability, rules and procedures and all the rest. But I'm also a human being. Tracy alluded earlier to the six human needs.
Yes.
We all need that variety, but it's going to look different to each person. And you know what one needs to start comprehending with the drainer versus the dominant drive is, first of all, which tool do I need for this job? And second of all, when can I create value for someone by being the person who brings stability, predictability, and so on to other people? And when do I need them to help me to understand my need for variety and other things as well, where my drives might not play strongly into that place?
It speaks a lot to the communication, which we spoke about earlier. Tracy, did you want to just put in your bit there?
I agree with you, Claire. Totally agree with you about that energy. Yes, definitely.
An assessment doesn't define you. There is so much complexity to each and every human being. What the drive framework is helping us understand is, where's your sustainable energy? But there are huge components to managing, to life skills, and to other things that make you as an individual more and more unique. But I think the value of understanding the strength of diversity and uniqueness is what we're trying to achieve with the drive framework, because then it plays towards, when I'm strong in an area, I will lead and others will follow. But when I'm weak in an area or I'm drained in an area, well, who can I intentionally follow?
Keyword intentionally. We love that.
Yes, keyword intention.
That is the beauty of drives. And that is why my absolute passion and dedication to this work is, because when I get to say every day how much I love my life, and Claire, I know my days are like yours, no 2 days are the same, that when people can lean into the and understand their drives and mastering their drives, that they are going to be the best version of themselves. They are going to feel the way we do.
Absolutely agree.
And we are all unique and we are dynamic and we embrace each other for our wonderful qualities and our drives and our energy, our natural energy. And that brings us to the close of this podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Tracy and Andrew, my co-hosts. Absolutely love the energy. Loved unpacking these drives. Can't wait to see what we're doing with the next one. Please do join us again in future.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Engagement Fit Drive podcast. We hope you gained valuable insights that will empower you on your path to self-discovery and fulfillment. If you would like to discover your dominant drives, head over to engagementfitdrive.com and take the drive assessment. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with anyone who is ready to unlock their full potential. Until next time, keep engaging, keep thriving, and keep driving towards a life filled with purpose.